Welcome to Prague Will Find a Way, your friendly neighborhood podcast. I'm Jonathan Block.
And I'm Jay Valade. Today we are joined by Ted Winchell, a friend of mine from a long time ago, still friend now.
Hi, John. Great to see you both.
So Ted introduced me to Yes back in 1978, freshman year of high school.
And what album came out then?
That was Kermato.
Yes, all right.
That's my second favorite.
He didn't tell me to listen to Tormato. He just told me to listen to Yes. And so the album that was out at the time was Tormato. So through whatever, the Columbia House thing, I got Tormato as one of my free 10 albums or whatever. And that was my intro. And then he's like, not the one you should start with.
That's tie into the last episode, though, which was also 1978, Love Beach.
True.
Which, by the way, is getting vindicated online. I'm glad to see that. So thank you for everyone who's commenting.
There's only two comments.
Hey.
I need some haters out there.
They're very passionate, and I appreciate those. So.
Well, I did listen to the Love Beach show, by the way. Big fan of the show, and I always listen on Spotify. And so thank you. I was listening, and you guys were talking about it, I thought, I haven't listened to that album forever. And a lot of the stuff you talked about, I didn't remember, so I went back and listened to it, and yeah, I kind of had the same thought as you guys for the most part.
Yeah, I think we can all universally agree that the lyrics are horrible. All right, enough about Love Beach. So why are we here, Jay? Why are we all here?
Well, we've been seeing a lot of live music lately.
Live Prague is a thing. I mean, yeah. And actually, there's so many shows, there's good shows we're not seeing.
Yeah.
In the area.
It's true.
Like the David Cross Band. I keep saying that.
Oh,
like,
right. That's next week, right?
I think.
Yeah.
It might even be tonight.
So David Cross Band is going to be at the Space Ballroom up in outside of New Haven.
And Connecticut.
John and I went to go see Carl Palmer's ELP experience last week.
Yeah.
Ted went to go see John Anderson's Band Geek show, and Carl Palmer was the opening act. So we're going to talk about that. And then Ted and I went to go see Yes and Deep Purple 3 weeks ago or something like that. So we wanted to kind of hit those moments where we had some cross-pollination and talk about our experiences in those shows. We should start with Carl because that's the one show all three of us.
Right. Yeah, we just saw Carl last week. They were an excellent show. I have to admit, I went in very prejudiced about the whole experience. I'd seen the videos, so I knew what to expect. What I didn't expect, first of all, Carl plays amazingly. You can't deny that. And the gentleman he has playing with is very competent. They're all into it. There was less playing to the videos than I thought was going to be, so that was good. I mean, they played, it was just the Carl Palmer experience.
Yeah, so if you don't know, Carl Palmer is now touring this ELP experience thing, where during parts of the show, there's videos of Greg Lake and Keith Emerson
From the Royal Albert Hall DVD, which I believe was 92.
He plays along with them on video. And then other parts of the show, he has a bass player and a guitar player who are both excellent.
They played all of Tarkus. And the one thing I do want to say, because I mentioned this to you, Jay, right that night. So we were there, and there were actually a couple of seats open in the front row. So towards the end of the show, we went to the front row. And I noticed more things then. One of the things I noticed that really changed the way I thought about it was that every once in a while I could kind of see Carl look out of the corner of his eye either to the Greg video or the Keith video, and he just would have a little smile on his face. It was very, very subtle. I did not notice it when we were farther away. Not that this was a big venue, but I noticed that, and immediately I could tell he was very sincere about this. So that's the one thing I could say. I mean, you can argue whether you like it or not. It's way different when you're seeing it there versus a video on YouTube, but he wants to do this. He doesn't have to do this, you know. Believe me, he's got, besides the ELP money, he's got Asia money. So he does.
But he's got a lot of merch.
There is a lot of merch, and I should have brought my ELP hat.
It's misaligned?
It was misaligned, but anyway.
Did you get any merch?
I did.
Did you commit, one of the many drum heads, signed drum heads?
Yes, that's
really?
What I did.
Well, did you?
So, and it was like, this was the show where Carl's opening for John Anderson. So when I walked into the venue, I see this merch table, and it's like three different John Anderson t-shirts that look just as good as the cover for the new album.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, that's all they have. But then later I see the Carl Palmer thing that has everything. And I actually purchased one of the signed drum heads.
Oh, nice.
And because some other time years ago, I bought an Ian Pace signed drum head at a Deep Purple gig. So I mounted them behind one of my drum kits at home. And that's what I spent my $40 or $50 on it.
I believe it or not, I saw a number of people buying drum heads. I was surprised.
Yeah, there were a ton.
And they had like the merch. There was a Targus one. There were like a bunch of different ones. It was
the thing I wanted to buy that I didn't buy was they had a box set of the 7-inch singles vinyl.
Lincoln Palmer
ELP singles.
Replica,
and I thought it was really cool.
Replica sleeves. And it was,
but
actually,
it was all replicas. But yeah.
It was like, cheaper at the venue than it was.
Then it was on Amazon.
It was cheaper at the venue than was it on Amazon. But
so I almost got it, but then I'm like, I'll listen to this three times because I probably have 90% of it on CD already. Yeah. And then to flip the single to listen to what is it when the apple
blossoms bloom in the windmills of my mind. I think something. That was the B-side of Tiger in the Spotlight.
Yeah. So, but I thought it was cool because all the picture sleeves and the whole thing. Yeah. So,
well, I spent $30 on a hat that's misaligned printed, so I should have just spent another $30 and got this. Because I was looking at the singles box too, and I was like, "That's pretty cool."
Yeah.
Well, in that light, last one, was it the last one at your show too? There was like in the front they had this. Was like this Lucite had the ELP logo that said like "Welcome back, my friends" or something, 50th anniversary, and it turned colors. And there was a little sign next to it that said "Last one."
Oh, I don't remember.
Okay, so maybe it truly
maybe
was,
last was the last
yeah.
one.
Because I got there were only two hats left. I did see the two. So,
but
well, the misaligned one is going to be a collector's item.
I guess so. Yeah, it already is. It's like the bottom of the P is not where it's supposed to be. So, but that's all right.
So what did you think of the show?
The Carl Palmer gig?
Yeah.
Oh, it was fabulous. I think not really giving a lot of thought ahead of time for a couple of minutes. The absence of keyboards seemed like there was something missing, but they did it brilliantly. The guitar player is so good.
The guitar player was excellent.
Name. Yeah. It's a long last name. I remember that.
Yeah.
But he had great effects, so he could play the keyboard parts in such a way that it felt great.
Yeah.
And then, if I've got it right, the opening number for the gig I saw was, Carnival 9, opening with Greg Lake in his Elvis Presley costume and doing the voice. And then they go to the long instrumental break.
Yeah.
And then when they came back for the final verses, it was the guitar player.
Yeah, that was cool.
And I didn't even notice it right away. Yeah. His voice was so workable with Greg Lake that it took me a moment to say, oh wait, this is the guitar player.
It was pretty cool.
But,
so you saw the truncated show because he was opening for John. Yeah, so when we saw him, they did Tarkus, and then the bass player did a bass solo and he did Pictures at Night.
Yeah, he did like a solo on the stick, on the Chapman stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, no stick. Yeah. Okay, guys.
So one thing I wasn't crazy about, and it's funny because I complained, I may have even complained about this on the podcast. Lord knows I complain about a lot of things, but even back in the day, well, for me, I mean, I saw ELP in like 78 or something, so that was back in the day, but even in the 90 tours, it was like they took up like 20 minutes or so with the whole, Rondo America, fanfare Rondo America thing, where Keith's stabbing the organ and stuff, and then Carl's doing his drum solo. Interestingly, Carl did the drum solo in a different part, which was cool.
Which was good.
But he did that. They did it was okay, the fanfare into the, and it did not go on as long as I thought it would. And it was actually, like I said, by that point too, like Carl was laughing. Like there were some
that's when we were in the front row watching. He's looking at the
organ, and the organ's on top of him, and he's playing it back upside down and backward. It was cooler, believe it or not, it was cooler seeing that than having seen ELP do it, because it was so over the top for the venues they were playing in the 90s. So think of like Oakdale Theater and Keith Emerson stabbing organs on the stage of the Oakdale Theater. It's a little bit Spinal Tap.
But I did notice something when that was happening, and you knew that Keith was about to do this on the screen.
Yeah,
there was a couple of guys in my row, and they got really excited, and they're like, here, one of the guys goes, here we go. And and I'm thinking, like, you know, if you were at home, you could watch this DVD, right, but you wouldn't get that excited.
Yeah, exactly.
But these guys were so excited about it, and it was really fun.
I forgot about the spray painting part.
Yeah.
The spray painting scene with it. So by you saying that, you're telling me he had a truncated set, and he still spent 15 freaking minutes of that set on that entire thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I think what we got was we got the Sharkus, and then we got the pictures.
And there were a few other songs as well. So what about you, Jay?
I really enjoyed it, and his energy was fantastic.
I believe 74, 75,
somewhere along the
way, lines. In better shape than probably anyone listening to this. I mean, it's kind of scary.
He was really good, yeah. And he was self-effacing and joking, and he, you know, he sang. What did he sing? The Gambler? No, he sang. No,
Benny the Bouncer.
Benny the Bouncer.
You got that too?
No,
okay, you didn't get Benny the Bouncer.
Yeah, so he sang that, and
that was completely unexpected.
Yeah,
because I've never looked at any of the set lists. He's put out.
Oh, so like, that wasn't on your set
list. He's put out like three CDs over the years with the Carl Palmer Band. So I would always see what tracks, and there'd be a lot of different ones all over the place. I was waiting for Canario from Love Beach, but we never got that. And Benny the Bouncer never shows up on anything. So yeah. it was kind of funny. Yeah, that was really, really funny.
But it was good. And he talked to the audience. I mean, he came up, but that was the weird thing, because he's got a mic back there, I think, on his...
He gets up and
stands in front of the audience, yeah, and he introduces the next thing, and he's back behind his drum set. But it was good. And the video thing did not bug me in the least, because the two guys he had with him were fantastic.
The one thing from the old days that I missed is the kit was maybe a little smaller, but still pretty big. And he's got the two dongs, and he's about to hit him. And I was ready for him to take his shirt off. But he didn't.
As he was playing the bass drums with him,
So I guess it's a certain...
Yeah, that's true. There's been a little evolution and less clothing. More clothing remaining.
More clothing remaining on.
During drum solos. But yes, his drum solo is impressive.
Yeah. Impressive. So then after that comes the John Anderson show, right? With the Band Geeks.
Yeah.
What'd you think of that? I think I've already given my review of the Band Geek show on here.
Right, that's true.
I loved the show, and I didn't really go in with big expectations. It's been a long time. I'd seen a little bit of John Anderson solo over the years, but not nearly as much as you guys probably, but I can't remember the last time it was. And so I didn't have super expectations, but I'd read about it and read that it was going to be good. And, I just thought it was fabulous. And, of course, a big part of it is the guys that he's playing with, he lets them have a spotlight.
Yeah.
They weren't like playing in the dark like some other bands. And they were so tight. And the tempo was, you know, the way those tunes were presented.
You know, I was, yeah, on the last, when we did review the show, when I saw it, I was saying that it felt like the tempo and the energy and just kind of the, not that they were jamming, but the that feel that they had, like when you listen to Yes songs, when Alan White is really pushing them along, that kind of was in there in that show with the drummer and just the whole crew when they were out.
And I love the two keyboard player thing.
Yeah.
They were both great. And plus, they have a bunch of people in the band that can sing, which makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need those harmonies.
Yeah.
You need those harmonies for...
And John was in really good voice when I saw him. For turning 80 in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think that...
Carl didn't come join on stage for... there was no join encore or anything?
Yeah. No, I don't know how much you want to talk about one Yes versus another. But
we'll get there. there was no Carl coming out and playing a song with John at the end.
Or anything.
No, wouldn't that have been great? No.
Yeah.
He was probably
on his way to the next.
Yeah, I don't know how I don't know what the psychology involved in this is.
I don't know. I've seen a couple pictures on Facebook of them backstage and like pictures of Carl and John and John with Carl's two bandmates. But
yeah. So Okay, so you got, let's just entertain me here for a minute. So you've got John Anderson, you got Carl Palmer.
Yeah.
So who else we got available? We can fill a band out here. No, it's got to be people that are touring.
Well, Rick Wakeman is coming to, Frog is finding its way back to Fairfield again tomorrow.
That's right.
When Rick Wakeman plays at the Sacred Heart University Community Theater downtown.
This is debuting his
Yes Sonata.
Yes Sonata. Okay, so we can have Rick on. We can have Rick on.
He
keyboards.
Could be in
so
on the case.
Rick on keyboards. Obviously, John's playing his voice and tinkling on different various things. Carl's playing drums. So
it's called incidental percussion.
We need a guitar player. Steve Hackett. Who else is around that's
touring?
Yeah,
that's not like in Yes.
Well, yeah, it's enough. You got Wakeman. You're done. Okay.
I take Steve Hackett because he hasn't played with any of those.
He's actively touring. Sure.
Well, Steve Vai and Adrian Belew are blowing through.
That's true.
Sometime soon they can play a bit.
Yeah, but Adrian is a no-go because we got John. Like, Adrian has to be the front man.
Yeah.
I mean, we've learned that. So we need a bass player. I guess it could be Tony.
Well, Tony is.
I mean, he's that's like the low hanging fruit choice. But who else is there?
But the highest.
Yeah, possible.
The highest caliber.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know what I mean? Because really, I'm trying to think of who.
Well, that is one of the problems if you're a prog bass player. Most of them aren't with us anymore.
So you got Mike Rutherford, but he's not really active. Well, he's active, but not over here.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, senior moment. The lefty that played with ARW is touring with ELO right now.
Lee Pomeroy?
Thank you. Lee Pomeroy. And ELO was just in Manhattan like a few days ago or last week, I think.
I'm looking for, nice. We're looking for big known names.
So
classics. So it probably has to be Tony Levin, right? I mean, who else is going to see? Well, I'm thinking
Geddy Lee.
Yeah, but again,
Geddy played with Yes.
It has to be plausible. He's not going to tour, but he's not going to tour. Okay, anyways, that was a little aside. Well, because I was playing that game last time with Love Beach, right?
Yeah.
Because of the way things, you know.
Oh, what would have happened in 1978?
Right, Emerson and Lake and Chris Squire and Alan White. That was the band.
That was your hope.
That was my hope.
But then XYZ came along and stole them all.
Right.
It never happened.
Right. Well, and then Asia came, you know.
Yeah.
So the 78 to 81, that was very, the weird period.
Yeah.
You know. Anyways.
All right. So then we went to see Yes.
The official Yes.
So you saw Yes and Deep Purple. Yes
and Deep Purple.
For Deep Purple.
Yeah.
Okay. What'd you think?
I saw Yes and Deep Purple. Jay got up two songs into Deep Purple, and he's like, I got to go. I was just here for the opening.
No, I didn't say that. I said, I got to go because I took the train, and my train is leaving. So
that's true.
I would have stayed for longer, but I did take the train.
How were they? How was Deep Purple?
Oh, I thought they were great.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
And John, they've got the new guitar player.
And then, he's very, very fits into the vibe. And their new album, I think, each album that they've come out with in the modern era has been somewhat surprising, right? I mean, but this one is really good.
I think it's kind of scary
that a legacy band.
Put out something that
I'm not cynical about. I mean, you listen to it and it's like, no, it actually is pretty good.
Yeah, the song craft is like a song.
Yeah.
And if the playing is full
energy. They still play and you can still sing. Certainly,
and that's a band situation because we still have all these other, you know, Peter Gabriel put out an album.
Right.
John Anderson put out an album. And David Gilmour just put out an album.
Right.
But not in this band situation.
No.
The band itself. I mean, Yes has put out albums, but I don't feel the same way that you guys feel about this new Deep Purple album.
Right.
Even though there's been changes
over the years, but like, I mean, John Lord died, it's got to be 20 years or close to it. So Don Airey's been in the band for
a long time.
And the new guitar player is fitting in fine. I mean, he's more in the older mold. I mean, I have to admit, Steve Morse was publicly unhappy with the way he was being taught, like he was being talked about with Deep Purple. I do have to hand it to Ian Gillan because he, in subquent interviews, dialed it back a little. Yeah, because there was a couple of interviews and I was like, dude, he saved you guys.
Yeah.
He was in the band for decades. And they were just sitting like, you know, that was great. He was here, bye, you know? I mean, like, thank you for your service, but, and it's like, I kind of wrote a lot of the songs too, guys, that they've been playing over the years. But anyways, again, for me, I've listened to Deep, you know, they're heavier, obviously, but lots of prog moments. That's a perfect example of a band that absorbed things that were going on at the time and put it through their own, like that early 70s period.
Oh, sure.
But even, you know, like 69, they were doing, you know, they played
concerts. With the orchestra and like, whatever?
Well, that, but they... but around that time, they were playing like three or four songs in concert. I mean, every song was a half hour, Mandrake Root and... the other one, ring that neck, and they ended up taking parts of those and putting them in like Space Truckin' and things like that. That then became the jam numbers. But they was always like, you know, are you guys trying to be the Grateful Dead? Are you trying to be the prog? You know, it was like they had that. And then like you said, the orchestra thing, which I actually liked. It was it was interesting. And then they did Deep Purple songs too. So it was. You know,
And it wasn't that I didn't enjoy the Deep Purple songs did hear, but it's not as much of my jam. I mean, Ian Gillan is not my favorite vocalist to go listen to music.
Yeah,
that's not my thing, which is fine.
Yeah. But how was Yes? So you guys saw both. You saw Yes and John Anderson away from the they're playing the old songs and blah. But like,
John's playing the old songs too.
Right.
I mean, he's got new songs.
What's the differences? Do you think?
My take on it was. I thought that Yes, when we saw them with Deep Purple, started a little slower, but by the time they were done, they were firing on all cylinders. And initially, I was like, it's fine. It's all right. But then by the time they got to Siberian Kachuru, and I think Yours and Yours Grace I liked as well, but wasn't as huge a fan of going.
Material?
No. Because this is their, they have this, again.
Not even opening one song?
No. Well, they did Machine Messiah.
Okay, I had that.
Which was fine.
But that was at the beginning?
That was the first. Then they did I've Seen, not even Rusty, just didn't have the oomph, right?
Gotcha.
To get the crowd going, and, you know, people are still there. Right. I've Seen All Good People they went right into, which I thought was an interesting choice for the second song, because there's still people pouring in. Yours to No Disgrace, which is, you know, one of my favorite songs, so I couldn't not like that. But then, you know, we've got this short set, and Steve Howe still does the clap.
Well, it is his band.
Right.
And then going for the one, which was okay. Siberian Kachuru, I thought, was the best of the night. And then they did Roundabout and Starship Trooper.
That seems like about an hour.
Yeah. No, they played for a decent amount of time.
Yeah, that's good.
But
for
it took me a little while to warm up to
them.
Right. And, you know, we interviewed John Davison, and I really enjoyed my time with him. But I just like John Anderson as a vocalist better. That's just my take.
I'm sure he would agree.
From a band standpoint, it is for sure the Steve Howe band.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I told Ted this while we're watching. I'm like, I feel kind of bad for Billy Sherwood, because when you go see Yes, it's not all about the guitar. It's about the keyboard player. It's about the bass player. It's about the whole group. That's why everyone loves Yes, is because everyone is a star. And Billy is like, in the shadow the entire show.
Yeah, everybody was in the dark except for John Davison and Steve Howe. And then there are the big screens.
Yeah.
And all of the shots on the screens were those two men. And so Jay is saying, why aren't they showing the other guys on the screen? I'm not sure. Maybe that's just the way the camera's set up and that's all we're getting. But then, of course, when Deep Purple comes out,
Everybody.
We're very busy switching from one man to the next, and that was right.
Why isn't Billy getting any press?
Well, my thought about Billy,
he was doing a good job.
My thought about Billy was, as the years go by, I think he's starting to look more and more like Chris Squire, and so I was like, maybe they were thinking, oh, a lot of people probably don't even know. They'd be like, oh, look, the bass player looks the same. So just kind of keep him in the dark, because he's wearing like a house coat.
Okay. You know, Squire would always wear these outlandish outfits.
And it's got like a fan blowing on him, and he's got like a hair, you know, the same hair. And so,
sound wise,
I thought it was actually good. So, the venue is a hit or miss.
Keyboard. Well, yeah, but
that's what I was saying, because the bass was so prevalent in the mix.
Right.
I was surprised that he was not highlighted in the stage presence.
Yeah, but I thought the keyboards were a little bit low.
And they were a little low and not, I don't know. They added color, but they didn't. They weren't a lead instrument, I think.
In many respects, I really felt the contrast because Deep Purple came out next. And so it was just bigger and louder.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
and more energy. Faster.
Yeah.
If I think about the show, John Anderson versus this, Steve Howe Yes thing. One thing I thought was Jay Schellen, at least on the tune Roundabout, you know, there's the part in the middle, you know, the Eagles dancing wings.
Yeah.
Right. And on the album, right, there were milk bottles and all this.
Right. Pressure. Yeah.
So Jay Schellen does a really good drum take on that. He's really busy.
Yeah.
So I thought he outplayed the Band Geek guy on that one tune.
Huh.
But the Band Geek guy was a great drummer and he can sing. And I had a thought during the Band Geek show, which is, I think some of these tunes have been, you know, they're dropped a half step or a step. But most people probably don't notice or care. But whereas I know Steve Howe has talked about how it's important to play songs in the original key, but I think most people are more interested in like something played at the original tempo.
Right.
And that was the difference. Right. I thought that it was a little bit, it was great to hear Machine Messiah because, you know, John Anderson's not going to play that.
Right.
So it was fun. And I think in and of itself,
it would be, it would actually be, what if he played it?
He should play it.
That would be funny.
My only thing with that is that it's a 12-minute song by the time they're all done in concert with it. Right. You know, the whole lead in and whatever. And I'm like, you're playing to this festival crowd, or it's not a festival crowd, but it's an outdoor thing, right, and a double bill and everything. I would have preferred to hear another song that I knew better. I know Machine Messiah, but if I'm a casual person going to see Deep Purple and Yes, and they open with a 12-minute song that I've never heard.
Yeah, bold.
Right.
Even though it's 42 years old or 44 years old, I thought, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I agree. But the crowd really.
Well, the crowd got into it towards the end, but that was not
the songs that no one's gonna know.
They had a great reception.
They did. Yeah, that was the nice thing. That was the nice thing about being in this outdoor venue with a ton of people there. That people were enthused, and there was that kind of that moment of because I was thinking the other day, the last time that I went to a Yes show, that was like the people were way, it was like the talk tour at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah,
right. I remember thinking
maybe the 2004,
this is the last time I'm gonna see Yes in a place like this. But then the 2004 thing came along, but but it wasn't the same kind of energy of like.
Yeah, I agree.
Everybody gets older, so it's never going to be the same.
No, I mean, even in the crowd.
This the one crowd gets older too.
Yeah.
As we've seen. I mean, present company included.
Yes.
You know, we're not young.
For sure.
Yeah, they did have some effort at the merch table, I think, for the Yes show.
Some what?
Effordent.
It's like,
it's a joke. That has fallen flat.
That's okay.
I understand.
Would you have bottles of Bufferin? Would that have provided more of a cultural anchor for you?
Wow. Anyway.
Wow.
But all things being said, the crowd and everything at the Purple Yes show was really energized and a lot of fun.
Yes.
When I saw John Anderson, it was a smaller place and people were way into it. But again, my major gripe with that show was the policing of the audience up and down the aisles of right. don't take videos. Yeah. And I felt like everybody needed to sit there and behave.
Really? Church. That's not fun. I did not
the
see
the Church
that.
Of Anderson.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that it was it directed John. By him, no, but it was.
I didn't see any of that at this.
It would have been just
at the Capitol.
Right. You didn't see. Oh, okay. So that, now
it was. It's probably a venue related thing.
So what's? So we know that John. They're on their second round now.
I think they just. I think finished. They just finished up.
And so that we don't know.
We don't know what next. The what's next.
So everything with John is a surprise.
Yes.
So New Year's surprise.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think they're in Japan or something. Or just finished
it. Purple, or they?
No, I think it was by themselves.
Yeah, I think they were just doing a handful.
And then they're probably going to go into the rehearsal studio, so we will so we can finally get that Gates of Delirium tour, right? That they've been.
Well, they're supposedly working on a new album.
Well, we know that.
That's what.
Yes. Well, they can do
our inside track with John Davison told us.
So they could, you know, do open up with the new album and then do Relayer.
Yeah,
they could.
That would get people in.
But it would again, it's the question. It's not. It's not this. Then, it's not the.
And then encore with you
Machine
know.
Machine.
I was going to say. I don't want to say Roundabout. And I've seen all good people, but Roundabout and something else. Can't they pick something? That, have they ever done like a Venture?
Yes,
I don't remember that.
Well, not as an encore, but they did like, you know, the album tour where they
right.
Yes album from start to finish.
Yeah, okay.
Remember, and they did because they did.
See, I'm glad you're here because these are the things we
of course
these are the obvious things we completely overlook.
These are the things when I'm listening to your show and I'm in the car, I forget that I'm not in the room and I'm saying yes, they played it on the album tour, and you're not answering me. I'm like, oh, that's right, because I'm not in the room with them. I forgot.
Not that we don't have everything at our fingertips, but right. you know, it's easier if somebody just tells us.
Yeah, that's right. And then they did like Cans and Brahms and 5%. For nothing.
Yeah.
Did they really
time? Yeah, they did a thing.
You know, oh, and they did We Have Heaven. And they did the whole thing. Oh, sure.
Okay.
She was
and then the reprise of We Have Heaven?
I'm sure they played it straight through, didn't they?
Not with like the door opening and the. No. Okay. Didn't do that. No. That was pretty good, though.
All right. Anything else on this? On the Yes?
On the Yes?
Carl Palmer?
No, I don't know what Carl's up to next. I don't know what John is up to next. I know that Yes is supposedly recording.
Came up with an idea for them.
If they want to do it.
If they want a band, call Steve. And
yeah, that's it. And yeah, so I think that they kind of closed out their tours recently, and they're going to take the fall off.
Yeah,
it's interesting because there are many times in the past where if we knew we would be having this discussion where it was like five Prague concerts in one month in our area, we would have been like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
I mean, it is kind of wild.
Yeah.
So, all right. We got a lot more to talk about, but that's enough for this episode. Yeah. So, Ted, just stick around for the next episode. We're going to do one more.
Fabulous.
All right. So...
Prague will find a way.
If you want it to.